I've really covered quite a few messages over the last couple months, messages that I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you. And today I'll be returning back to a sermon series that I was in quite a while ago, and that was looking at the parables of Jesus. A parable, just a reminder, a parable is a earthly story with heavenly meaning. Jesus often taught using parables for a number of reasons. And the first is that it highlighted a truth that was for the follower of Christ, but it also masked or hid that truth from those who were not followers of Christ. A second reason is a parable helped his followers understand maybe a complex truth in an easy to understand story. And a third reason was is that it kept Christ's followers seeking to understand more. If they heard a parable, they desired to know what that truth was. It kept them digging to learn and grow in their faith. And today I'll eventually be looking at two parables. I'll be looking at two. And I'll be looking at the parable of the fig tree, which is found at the end of Matthew chapter 24. And I'll be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins found in the beginning of Matthew chapter 25. The title of my message today, this morning, is Should We Panic? And have any of you heard of the fable that has been circulated, often called Chicken Little? Most versions, there's several versions out there. I couldn't find one that was where they were exactly the same. But most versions start with Chicken Little outside, and then the acorn falls and lands on his head, and he panics, thinking the sky is falling. And what does he do? He runs over to others, and he tells them what happened, that the sky is falling. And all of a sudden, a lot of them are panicking on this. Disney put out a movie, Chicken Little, a while back now, and it has a little different storyline, but the idea is similar. Something small causes panic and then cascades into widespread panic. You might be thinking that this has something to do with our current circumstances with the COVID-19 virus. And I suppose to some degree it could, but not necessarily. You see, the parable of the fig tree in Matthew chapter 24 was told because Jesus didn't want people to panic when certain things happened, certain events, and they were bad events. It pointed his followers of what is to come. Most of chapter 24 of Matthew sets the context of what Jesus is teaching in the fig tree parable. Jesus is teaching on the end times. This teaching is for his disciples who asked Jesus, what signs will precede the end of the age? Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and I'll read that. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? The first question, when will this happen, is referring to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was rebuilt, but Jesus is foretelling that there will be destroyed. We read about that a little earlier, but that's what they're asking. When will this happen? And that's followed by their second question, what will be the sign of your second coming, which is at the end of the age? Jesus begins to describe what things will be like before the end of the age and doesn't really tackle the questions in order, but merges them together, even though those two things will happen at different times. He starts with, there will be prolific deceptions about God and about who he is, about Christ. There'll be some people claiming to be the Messiah, and a Savior. But they're not. Unfortunately, these false prophets will gain a following and deceive many people. Jesus is telling them this. This is all in Matthew chapter 24 here. And there'll be also wars taking place, and even more talk or rumors of wars. These things will happen, but the end is still to come. The interesting thing of verse 7, Jesus says, not to be alarmed of such things. You are being warned that this will take place. Don't panic. Do not be alarmed, because they have to take place. Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, famines and earthquakes, they'll all take place. And we can say, don't panic. We can say that easily when these things are happening in a far-off place, because it isn't immediately impacting us. But what if these things take place here and we're in the middle of them? That's when it gets difficult. That's when we have to realize that Jesus' words were for us. Don't panic. The end of the age is coming. Matthew 24, verse 8 gives us an idea, a little more idea of how these things are going to take place. Matthew 24, 8. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Jesus is referring to all these things that will happen as if they were like birth pains, meaning they will happen again and again, and they will get fiercer, stronger, and they'll happen closer together. Is this global shutdown from a virus something that could be part of those birth pains? It's a question I was thinking. I don't know if it's crossed your mind. But the answer is maybe. But really, that is not the crucial question. And I'll get to what the crucial question is a little further in my message. But bad things are going to take place as the end of the age gets closer. And I can say, we are getting closer. Jesus continues on and saying there will be further persecution against Christians, and many will be killed because of their faith in Jesus. There will be a general hatred towards the faithful followers of the Lord. And because of that persecution, there will be many who will turn away from their faith in Him. That's the sad part. People will betray each other. People will hate each other. And this is all found in verse 9. Jesus is painting a pretty grim picture there. Fear and panic are reasons that some turn away. Now, we do see some of these things happening in the United States, but the killing has been more so in other countries. But they're happening in our world. Because of wickedness abounding, we will see much less love in the world. Then we read in verse 13 of chapter 24, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Those that remain faithful, even in the hardships and even in the persecutions, will be saved. This isn't talking about those who have messed up or those who have failed at times. This is talking about those who have kept the faith and have kept moving forward in their relationship with Christ, holding on to their faith in Him. Those who remain faithful to Jesus Christ in spite of the struggles like famines, earthquakes, persecutions, and who knows, maybe even a global impacting virus and murder hornets. That's what's been in the news lately. Though the famines and earthquakes and persecutions and the rise of wickedness have had a detrimental effect on our world, we're given encouragement because something will continue. Let's read that in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Though our world is impacted by wickedness and impacted by disasters, the message of hope in Christ will continue to spread. It won't stop it. The gospel has reached the world, and truly the end could come at any time. When Jesus returns, there will be a judgment day. Those who put their faith in Christ will receive their eternal reward of being with Him for eternity. Those who have rejected or those who have refused to put their faith in Jesus will receive their eternal judgment, eternal torment, which we often refer to as hell. I'd like to continue on in reading. I'd like to start with verse 30 of chapter 24. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. This is not always the easiest to understand, but Jesus is coming, and there will be mourning by those who know the impending judgment. You see, when Jesus comes, everybody will know who Jesus is. And people will know that this isn't about what good or bad things you've done. It is about whether you have been faithful to Jesus or not. Though there will be mourning and sorrow from many people, there will also be joy and praises by those who have remained faithful. All of this that I've spoken on so far leads us to that first parable of the fig tree. We read that in verses 32 and 33 of chapter 24. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. We have spent a good portion of time looking at the signs of the end, not to give us anxiety or fear resulting in panic, but to help us understand what is happening. Here in Wisconsin, we are enjoying spring right now, and we see trees budding, we see things starting to grow, flowers starting to grow. We know that summer is near. So also is Christ's return near. We see a lot of the signs that Jesus talked about happening around the world. They've been happening through time, but as if they're birth pains, they keep coming around. We know the end is coming. So this parable of the fig tree is really about preparation. Earlier I asked the question if what is happening right now is a sign or a birth pain of the end of the age. And my response was maybe, but that wasn't the crucial question. And here's the more important question. Are you ready for Christ's return? Are you ready to meet Jesus? In Scripture and in other many prophecies, everything that has said will take place has taken place. His return could be right now. It could be also in 100 years. It could be in 10 years. It could be in another year. It may even be in a day. Or it could be right now. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? This leads me to our second parable. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." I could take a long time to go through this parable, but the basic meaning is what I am going to address. The groom that is being waited for is Jesus. He is coming, and there are some who will be prepared and others who will not. The interesting part was that in verse 5, we see the bridegroom's arrival was at an unexpected time as all 10 were sleeping. Jesus' return is not known, and who knows, we could be sleeping. We could be working. We could be in a time of plenty, or we could be in a time of need. That's the point. As followers of Christ, we are to be ready at any time for his arrival. We cannot ask Christians for some of their faith to get us by. Attending church services with Christians, or having Christian friends, or having parents who believe in Jesus isn't going to make us ready. We need to be ready, and how can we be ready for the bridegroom's arrival? To be ready for Jesus' arrival, we must be truly born again through the saving faith in Jesus Christ. It is believing, it is confessing and receiving Jesus Christ. And such faith impacts every aspect of our life. Being ready is not only for his arrival, but should our life end due to illness or tragedy, we will always be ready. I'd like to close with one last verse from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." That really summarizes of what we're doing. Are you ready? If you have never committed your life to Christ, will you do that today? Will you believe in who Jesus is? Will you confess him as your Savior? Will you ask for his forgiveness and begin to walk in a relationship with Jesus, to begin walking and following his ways? Will you do that?